B-Pod Studios.
This is...
That's so dumb!
Velger.
Oh, you idiot!
Mass.
Holy crap!
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Coming up on 4:04 in the afternoon, it's Velger and Mass fully loaded after I had yesterday off, so it's a reentry Tuesday. A lot of you had yesterday off as well. So everything from the weekend we're sort of getting back into, even though these guys covered it yesterday. And I still think the lead is the Celtics, and just their season and what's happening to it and what's going to happen in the offseason and the events of All-Star Weekend. And I think basically the way Kyrie Irving carried himself the last week was and should be viewed as a slap in the face to the Celtics. I really do. Whether you think it's a big deal or not, I can't help you with that. I can just tell you when he misses the last two games before the All-Star break, he won't even travel. Take that short flight to Philly and sit on the bench to support his teammates for what was probably the most important game of the year to that point. He can't be bothered to even fly down there. Misses the next night as well. And then a couple nights later is hopping around Charlotte like, I don't know, Tiny Archibald. And not just the fact that he played in the All-Star game. That's insulting enough. Like, I mean, really, any other sport, you look and you go, what is the matter with you? How is that? How did the team let you do that?
Well, they enabled him.
There's no question the team enabled him.
Boy, did they ever.
So unseemly to begin with.
And they should keep doing it.
It's just gross. I think it's gross. I think it's frankly beneath the Celtics, the way they're enabling this guy and coddling this guy. But be that as it may, that's what they're doing. But to not even travel for that Philly game, not play either of those two games before the All-Star break, and then play 25 minutes on Sunday night, Ugh, what a F-U that is to the Celtics, I think. Talk about, could you be any more selfish or self-centered or self-serving than that? And then not the fact that he played, but the way he carried himself. He was ebullient. Is that a word?
Yeah, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was the joie de vivre that he carried himself with that weekend. Oh, my God. We're here, it's like... Yeah, ask me on July 1. I'm going to do what's best for me and my family. I don't owe anybody crap. But but here? Oh, my God.
It's like when Bill talks about Aaron Rodgers. Like, oh, he's so good.
You know, I mean, seriously, like a whole different way he carried himself, a whole different mindset, a whole different energy after he's, you know, I don't know, snarking around here all season. He goes there and he's now Mr. Happy.
No, right. He looked happy. He hasn't looked happy here in a long time.
Because he was surrounded with and playing with players that he think are his true peers. And I think this is part of the problem here. These guys like Jaylen Brown and Tatum and him seem to have a good rapport because, you know, it's where they went to school. But the rest of them, I think the problem is he just thinks that they're scrubs.
Oh, so then I got to read this. I mean, again, this sort of ties into the Kaepernick thing, which is I'm not saying that your causes are wrong. I in many cases, I support these causes. I do. I'm on that side of the political spectrum.
You just want them separated.
Why do I got to hear you? Like, why do I got to listen to this? And again, Mark True and NBC Sports Boston, the grab ass between Kyrie Irving and Durant. I mean, my God, in each other's shorts. Get a room, you two. Those guys. But anyway, Globe headline. Kyrie Irving's focus is on more than just basketball. Like, as soon as I read that headline, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Here we go. Gary Washburn wrote it, and the lead is enough. You know, Maz pointed this out. Kyrie Irving isn't offering any more hints about his free agent destination this summer. Of course, the Celtics are a possibility, but don't be surprised if the six-time All-Star meets with his hometown New York Knicks and perhaps even the Brooklyn Nets. Oh, really?
I know. I read that and went, what?
Now the Nets, too? Anyway.
If he picks the Nets, holy crap, well, there should be hell to pay for that. Go ahead.
But here's more on Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, Kyrie Irving. At age 26, Irving views himself as more than a basketball player. Again, as soon as you read that, it's like, oh, God.
No, this is good.
Here we go. Irving wanted to emphasize during All-Star Weekend that he views himself as a leader, a savant, a man with thoughts and opinions that spread far beyond the basketball court. One of the reasons Irving had issues during his time with the Cleveland Cavaliers was that he felt his off-court opinions were largely ignored by the media.
Yeah.
Listen to this. The Donald Trump election? LeBron James got those questions. Colin Kaepernick? Ask LeBron. Meanwhile, a young but astute Irving felt he was acknowledged only for his basketball knowledge. He resented that.
Oh, my God. So painful. So he wanted out of Cleveland because people weren't asking about the election? Really?
Yeah.
He wanted to pontificate on the election.
No, he resented being respected for his basketball knowledge. Resented it.
Oh, my God.
And so with that, what we really learn is he never really hated LeBron James at all. He was jealous of him.
He didn't like the attention.
Envious. Yeah, he was envious of LeBron.
He wanted that attention. He wanted to be asked about Colin Kaepernick. Ay. So Washburn writes that Irving said he had to reassess his self-worth. His decision to leave Cleveland for the opportunity to be the number one star was part of his metamorphosis, and perhaps his decision to keep his free agent plans private is another power move. Quote, tell me if you can tell me what the hell he's talking about here. Quote, from Irving. There's not going to be another player like me, and I understand that.
No, this was good. Yeah, I meant to read this yesterday. I never got to the actual comment. Go.
There's not going to be another player like me, and I understand that.
Because I'm special.
There's not going to be another person. We're all one of one.
Snowflakes.
So I support that. It gets hard at times being in the league, how much BS comes with it. That's just it. There's not going to be another player like me. I understand that. There's not going to be another person. We're all one of one. So I support that. What the hell does that mean?
Right. Support what?
What does that mean? Does anyone know what he's saying there? And then Washburn writes, the BS that Irving is referring to are the growing rumors that his Celtics future is tied to whether the club can acquire Anthony Davis. He truly despised being dragged into the Davis trade demands and has been surly with the media since. So this is a narrative that the local guys keep promoting, that he's being lumped in with Durant, he's being lumped in with LeBron, he's being lumped in with Anthony Davis, and he resents all that. If that's the case, how come he was playing patty cake with these guys all weekend long? He was ebullient the right word?
I think ebullient is correct.
Ebullient. He was absolutely beaming to be with Anthony, well, at least Durant. Durant and LeBron. Did you see any problems with Kyrie Irving and LeBron and Durant?
No.
No.
So how pissed could he? Because those are the guys dragging him into the rumors. The Knicks thing, the LeBron thing, the Anthony Davis thing, it's all being concocted by his fellow players. Was Kyrie Irving resentful of his fellow players? Because those are the ones creating the rumors.
Doesn't appear as such.
Felt to me like he was thrilled to be with those guys grabbing ass. Doing the whole thing. It felt like he was thrilled to be there with those guys. Much happier than he's been here.
He was ebullient
to be with those guys. And that great clip that Murray showed me is being shared now, where he's in the hallway with Durant saying they've got two max slots. And he's like really demonstrative with the two fingers. They've got two max slots. It's time. Like he's selling Durant on the Knicks or something. It's like you don't see half that energy towards his teammates here. So will you stop with this nonsense that he's resentful being dragged into these rumors? All the guys that were dragging him into these rumors he was with this weekend, and he was thrilled to be there. He went there, and not with the Celtics, to their road trip. Anyway, on Saturday, Irving didn't want to talk much basketball. Which, again, oh, God, do I even want to read this? He wanted to touch on his influence off the floor. He opened up about his place in society and the opportunity for empowerment on young people. Empowerment on young people. He didn't take a political or racial stance, but more of a social stance. Quote, outside of the court, we all want to stand against social injustice. We all want to stand for what we believe in. We all want to stand for more than just being basketball players, he said. When we do speak, some people just don't listen because we're just these athletes, he puts in air quotes. Like he's not an athlete? Why is that in air quotes? It's a little sad at times, but for me, I'm just going to keep pushing the envelope of how much I can really spread and influence others to open up and be free about themselves and who they are. Again, if anyone can translate for me, please. I'm following the...
He's going to do it on his threshold.
I'm following the steps of a lot of the pioneers that came before me.
Uh-huh.
Pioneers. The black pioneers.
Lewis Clark.
African-American pioneers. African pioneers. Native American pioneers. Native Indians. He said, I come from so many different places, so I represent a lot of different cultures, and I'm proud to do that. And because of that, I have an understanding of life, of coming from the elders, a lot of wise people, and you have to impart the same wisdom that was given to you to the younger generation. Again,
I don't want to deal with basketball. I got a world to save. That's the more important thing.
Of the elders?
A lot of people have done it before me, like Bill Russell of the Boston Celtics. Obviously, you think of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. Like, these are real leaders that sacrificed a lot of their lives to be put in this position. Maya Angelou, speaking about where she came from and teaching what she had and understanding, like I said, women rule the world. Well, he came over the top rope with that one at the end. He's there to play a basketball game that he wouldn't play for you, by the way. That he skipped the last week with you, but went to this thing and this. And I got to listen to this guy.
Okay, so the fact that, and we asked this
and again,
question yesterday.
This is no commentary on what he stands for, because I agree with a lot of the things that he stands for.
If not all of it.
It's just, oh, I find him insufferable.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Take that, though, and apply it to the basketball. If this is what he wants, if he wants that kind of forum, that sort of platform, that sort of outlet, that sort of influence, all of it. What's a better place to play, here in New York?
Oh, my God, it's not even close.
Oh, it blows it out of the water, please. I think the deeper we get into this, the more anxious I get.
And he wanted out of Cleveland because no one would ask him about Trump? You got to be kidding me. This is the last thing we need, is another person talking about effing Trump. I've up to my ears with people talking about Trump. I try and avoid people talking about Trump. Talk about Trump on your own time. And this guy's jealous that they were asking his teammates about Trump and not him about Trump?
Did you get to the paragraph when you read that thing about the influence and power that LeBron had and how he wanted it?
I don't know if I highlighted it
or not.
I'll
find it for you.
And it's just, the guy's freaking painful. He's painful. And just his body language and the way he carried himself and the events of this last week, I don't know how you feel good about him returning here. Like, because to me, he showed far more energy and passion about being around these superstars and grabbing ass with the other superstars and, I don't know, planning their next thing or something than he has been being with you. That's just me. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again. If I'm a Celtics fan and I watched that NBA All-Star weekend and just watched the pitchers and the way that they interacted with each other, from him and LeBron and Anthony Davis and Durant, and I watched all of that, the thing that I came away with, or I would come away with, is they've all got something up their sleeve and it ain't me. They're all cooking something up and it doesn't involve me. Like, that's how I would feel.
I mean, to me, I told you, I went into the weekend feeling a certain way. I came out of it saying, I don't feel good about the Davis situation. I don't feel good about Kyrie. Like, I don't know how you could come out of that weekend feeling better about either scenario, and yet we were being fed this narrative of Anthony Davis being on the Celtics list. And I went, what? And then that Kyrie story landed that Washburn wrote, and this paragraph struck me. Irving said he had to acknowledge his talent and power. For years, he watched James dictate the free agent market, determine his own fate, and call his own career shots. And while Irving begrudged that power because it affected him also, he also envied LeBron's influence. I read that and went, oh my God, he wants to be him.
He wants to be LeBron?
He wants to be him. He wants to be LeBron.
Just be sure to ask him about the wall. Just be sure to ask about Trump and Kaepernick. Otherwise, he's going to feel shut out. Like, oy vey, really?
It was never about playing in his shadow. He didn't have any issues playing with him.
Oh, my God.
He wanted the same kind of power that LeBron had.
Right, so anyway, there's your reset of your NBA thoughts to your calls right after this.
Felger and Mazz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mazz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jason, you came out this morning and said you were going to win this, and now you got the trophy in your hand. You want to decree anything else you're going to win? Go ahead. This is your chance.
We're going to win the finals this year. February 16th, Mark Jason Tatum said we're going to win the finals this year.
I like it. I like the confidence.
And then there's that. I forgot about that. Jason Tatum. What, only one, Jason? Why don't you predict five of the next six? Like your buddy Jaylen Brown there. Good God. Fylander, the old guys on this team are insufferable and the young kids don't get it.
It really is. It's unbelievable. And look, to me, he wasn't as bad as Brown. But, like, just can you guys just go out and actually do it before you shoot your mouths off?
How about climb above the five seed? Then we'll start talking about what you're doing. Why don't you just worry about Thursday and then worry about next, you know, the next 2 weeks, you're at Milwaukee, you're at Toronto. Why don't you start with those games and then we're going to worry about winning the championship? Like, they don't.
No. They've already got it in the bag.
Blown right by that.
Yeah, no. They're building social platforms and everything else.
Never mind that. Oh, my God.
Like, I don't mind confidence, but you would have thought he would have learned his lesson after what Jaylen Brown did. You know, 5 years, how many titles do you think he won? Five. Or whatever it is he said with Taylor Rooks, the busty reporter there. Like, this kid, come on.
I mean, the young guys on this team need a serious dose of humility. And I said this before. It is, you know, this is one of those years where you really use a good ass kicking. It's one of those where you do wonder if they wouldn't benefit from sort of getting bounced early.
This year, Maz, I might buy. I think you might be onto something.
I was just before my time.
No, I think, you know what? This group might need it. This group just might need it because they certainly think there's something they're not, whether it's on the floor or off. Mahatma Gandhi there at the point. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Maya Angelou, and Kyrie. Like, what?
I mean, just to mention yourself in the same breath as these people.
Dang, like, it. Oh, my Lord. It's that whole NBA All-Star weekend. Barf bag city. All right. So those are your All-Star thoughts. We got Bruins, got Patriots, got Reds, got all of them. All of them on board. Back to your calls. Mark and Medford, they blow the call at the end of the game last night on the Wagner goal.
Hey, Mike, that goal should not have counted, but I'll tell you what happened, the whole sequence right now. Yes, it is illegal to play the puck with a high stick, and you cannot possess it. The play should have automatically been blown dead. But the simple fact that the referee did not see the puck hit his stick roughly about, what, a foot above the crossbar?
Yeah, it wasn't close.
All he saw was the puck land in the blue paint and then Wagner knock it in. Therefore, which makes the play unreviewable because you cannot review a puck just simply being played with a high stick. That is end of story. The Bruins caught a break.
Huge one. Okay, I was going to say, I don't know why I got confused on the rule. They don't blow it immediately dead on a high stick. The other team has to play it first. I thought it was, I don't know why I was confused. I thought it was like a hand pass where they don't call it till someone else touches the puck. You can carry it with your hand, but you have to be the first to play it. If another teammate plays it, then that's... And I thought that was the same thing on the high stick. It's not. They just flat out blew the call.
No, blew it. They got a huge break.
Huge.
Huge. After blowing a lead, a three-goal lead. And so they get that one, and then they get another one there in overtime from McAvoy, and they win the game. They get their 2 points. Unbelievable.
Trevor and Matt Poisett on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Trevor. Okay, Trevor, he's going to jump off there. Ben in Groveland on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Ben.
How's it going, guys? Whenever Kyrie talks, it's like I'd rather have a full bottle in front of me, a full frontal lobotomy. I can't even do it. It's like I want to take Maz's quote: "If he's in, I'm out." Type of deal. It's like just next year. I'm telling you, I called you guys last week or 2 weeks ago. I talked about just let him go, let Tatum be the scorer, bring in a Kemba Walker, and also just to add, I really think Jason Tatum was being much more tongue-in-cheek than Jaylen Brown was at the All-Star break.
Okay. Hard to know with those kids. But with Kyrie, like, I mean, what, again, there's not going to be another player like me, and I understand that. There's not going to be another person. We're all one of one, so I support that. It gets hard at times being in the league, how much BS comes with it. That's just it. I mean, I need help with that entire paragraph.
I think he just meant that's just the way it is. It's like, I think that's what he meant to say. That's just it.
Who talks like that?
Him.
There's not going to be another player like me. There's not going to be another person. We're all one of one. So I support that.
Just got to do it on my threshold.
I don't get it.
Like, he talks like someone who's really high. Like, that, like, like when you start smoking weed in high school, like that. Like, we're all one as one. There's not going to be another one like me. Yeah.
God, dang.
You're right. We're all snowflakes, dude. That's what we are.
Pete in Plainville with the Patriots thought. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I want to ask Elder Kyrie Irving about H-1B visas and the immigration policy. Give me a break.
You better. Don't ask his teammates. He's going to feel slighted.
Yeah. So speaking from switching from one insufferable athlete to another, OBJ, I don't understand why Patriot fans would even really want that. They just, their whole wide receiver core this year probably was the amount cap space wise of OBJ just in general.
Right.
I have a Giants fan who's a buddy, and he's like, you don't want him. He's terrible. He's terrible for the room. He's everything that the Patriots do not need. He's antithetical to their whole purpose.
So I'm with you.
That's my thought.
100%. You don't win with those guys. You just don't. It's like proven fact in the league. It's just those guys don't win. That's not to say they don't need good receivers, though. I'm all for good receivers.
No, they got to rebuild the whole receiving core.
I just don't need the, I need the ball, give me my touches. You know,
always making headlines for the wrong reasons.
I'm the baddest man outside receiver. Like, I don't need that guy. I don't want that guy.
Would you take Antonio Brown?
Those guys hurt the team. Nope. I don't want Antonio Brown.
Oh, I would take him.
More trouble than he's worth.
I would take him, and I think he's a different kind of player than Odell Beckham.
I think he's worse than Beckham in terms of the off-field stuff.
He's helped destroy that Steelers team from within.
Yes, yeah, I don't think it's him.
He's in it.
Oh,
my God. No.
He quit. Okay, he quit the last week of the season.
Okay, and I still think the quarterback and the coach are a bigger problem there.
Well, no.
That's all I'm telling you.
He's a better player than those guys, but he helped destroy that team from within. He was a big part of that.
Yeah, I still think that he's a good fit for their offense, and you put him with Brady, and you're talking in my dynamic tandem.
No, thank you.
Ugh.
Oh, I would take him in a second.
Ugh.
Odell Beckham over Brown at this point, because Brown has proven to be Terrell Owens 2.0 as he melts his way out of town and guts that team.
I take Brown every time. He's way tougher than OBJ.
Nate in Manchester, give me a Bruins thought. Hello, Nate. Okay, we're taking calls, so be ready to go. Mike and Woburn, give me a Bruins thought.
Look, just quick, can you lay off of Tatum? What was wrong with that statement?
Mike, they're the 5 seed. What's he doing about talking about winning a championship?
Because he wants to be a champion. Why don't you talk about Kyrie wanting to be NBA's Alexa? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand what's wrong with what Tatum said. He wants to win a title.
Oh, no, Mike, come on. I'm with you. I'm a big Patriot disciple. I believe in one game at a time, one day at a time.
Okay, all right. Well, he's young. I like the vim and the vigor and go wanting to be a champion. I'm all set with that. You save the theoretical mathematical questions for Kyrie. The game last night was maybe one of the worst officiated games I've seen since last year's playoffs. Why is that play not reviewable?
Yeah, it
the
should
one
be, right?
With the high stick.
It should be
high,
easy.
So you're telling me that, I mean, and we talk like whatever you know, Bettman touches turns to freaking rancid porridge. Like the guy has a replay system where you can literally Zapruder any zone entry at any time,
right?
And then get in the DeLorean and take a goal off the board,
right?
You know, but a guy goes and tomahawks a puck down in the crease, like he Matumbo'd that thing down with his stick, whacks it in the goal. No one said, like, it's like, oh, we didn't see it. How did you not see it?
Hey, Mike.
And how can.
So what? I missed this in the third period. They're just showing on the replay right now. Did they also give the Bruins a bench minor because Cassidy didn't get his players out in time or something like that?
Yes, they did. Which that might be the worst call I've ever seen since, like, Therrien got an abusive official call in the playoffs, which would turned around the series against Carolina. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're making a decision, and you're going to pull that type of rank BS?
They gave him a delay of game in the third period because I guess he didn't get his line out in time, and they had to go shorthanded. Crazy.
I mean, I didn't even know that existed.
But the Bruins got a break at the end. They got the ultimate break.
Oh, huge break.
That
please.
Wagner goal shouldn't have counted.
I mean, again, and so this is what, two games now where they scored late on this trip, and that one in particular, the puck popping up in the air, they should have pulled the whistle right then and there. They stole a goal. They stole a game.
Here's Murray's update. We're back with more on a reentry Tuesday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones, as promised. Dave's in Hingham. Hi, David.
Hey, so, first point, I hate Kyrie. I can't stand him. I would miss the playoffs just to not sign this guy. He has a bum knee. He's just bad for morale. He is not about the fans. He just doesn't care about being here. He wants to go off to New York and dance with Kevin Durant. And then a quick second point on the Pats, why not try and trade for Julio Jones? I think Pioli's over there, and he's friends with Bill.
So Julio Jones does not quite reach that pain-in-the-ass level, except, I don't know, a lot of money. Does he need his touches?
His history of feet injuries, foot injuries that he's had to deal with.
Does he got a little bit of the dog in him, Murray?
I don't know about that. He's been injury-prone at times.
So
I think he's a stud, but I don't know. I'd rather like Golden Tate.
I'll go Julio Jones over Beckham and Antonio Brown any day of the week. Okay, just because again the pain in the ass factor. I the only thing worse than a receiver saying "Give me the ball, I need my touches" is when my running back does it. Like that's the only thing worse. So Le'Veon Bell, any of these running backs that I need my touches, like get out of here, running back. But the next worst thing is receiver. I don't need my receiver bitching about touches and all that. When it's there, it's there. When you're the game plan's in the game plan, some weeks we need you, some weeks we don't, and just keep your mouth shut and play. I mean, that's what I want my receivers to do. I do.
Yeah, to me, Julio Jones would be number one on the list. I think that guy's like as close to a perfect receiver as you're going to get.
Larry Fitzgerald's the guy.
So I'm just saying in terms of the build. Like, I don't know about some of the intangibles with him or whatever. He was awesome in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. So that catch he made on the sideline, like that's a highly skilled play. That's just, there's all types of stuff that goes into that catch. That was ridiculous.
Dan in Boston has us on hold, I think. Dan, are you there? It's another good one.
I like the Carpenters music better than this.
This is too bassy.
Yeah.
How do we get all these hold things happening now?
I don't know.
Like, why are we on hold?
I think you got to give them 20, because they put us on hold until... That's a good question. He must be working at his desk.
But why would we be on hold and not they be on hold?
Well, it's probably a bit.
This is probably calling, talking to a client on the other line.
Has it been 20 seconds yet?
Trying to sell widgets or whatever it is.
Okay, Dan, call us back. You know the number. Derek in the car. What do you got for us on the Celts?
Yeah, I just wanted to call about Kyrie Irving and translate what he had stated in his comments earlier. It's basically like he's been touched by the gods, and don't look at him directly or your eyes will burn. P.S. I'm an asshat. I literally just want to go home. I bought my son his shoes during the summertime. I want to go home and burn them and just say, sorry, son, he's a douche. Really, he is just completely bad for the locker room, and he needs to go. And I know Maz, I've called over the past couple weeks, and you want him to stay, but he is just so bad for the locker room. He needs to go.
I mean, he is LeBron. At least some of you are calling it like you see it. Because I know you hate LeBron. But, I mean, tell me what's the difference here. And I had to read this thing, too. This NBA All-Star Weekend. Oh, my God. What a puke fest. You're from one dink after the next. But I gave the Kyrie quotes, which, again, like, woof. There's not going to be another player like me, and I understand that. There's not going to be another person. We're all one of one, so I support that.
Again, this is me at like 17.
He voted for it in Congress.
This is me at 17, smoking for the first time. We're all one is one.
But again, his role in it, like his, he put himself in the same breath as Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Maya Angelou.
Oh, you mean he isn't fit in that group?
I'm following the steps of a lot of the pioneers that came before me. The Black pioneers, African-American pioneers, African pioneers, Native American pioneers, Native Indians, he said. I'm not mocking his heritage. It's just
lumping himself
with the pioneers,
some of the great minds and orators in human history. And what's he done besides play basketball and make terrible movies?
Just
on his threshold.
Okay, so again, that's Kyrie. But then they asked LeBron about the Kyrie call, where Kyrie called him after he didn't get the last shot in Orlando, and he had to call Bron and tell him,
Yeah, I understand, Bron. I know what it's like now to be you.
I mean, tell me what the difference is. Here's Bron on that and the call in Kyrie. I always thought he was special. I mean, there's a reason why there's only 24 of us here this weekend. he's here for a reason. The phone call, more than for me, I think, just to see his growth. It takes a real man and a real person to understand who they are. To be able to call or to do anything and see their wrongdoings or believe they had some wrongdoings and then be able to come to grips with that and either apologize or say that, at that point in time, I thought I was ready for something, but I really wasn't. I'm not here to. I really don't want to talk about it too much because it's not for everybody, James said. I love Kyrie. I love everything about Kyrie. I love his family. I definitely love his shoes and his game. My kids love his shoes and his game. So it's all good.
The only thing they don't do at this event is talk about basketball.
My God. I mean, Ryan in Somerville on the Patriots. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, just a quick question. I know this is probably going to be a quick no, but Antonio Brown, OBJ, you're a Packers fan. They got a new system, new head coach coming in.
No.
How do you feel about that?
No.
Just another quick one. Do you hold out with the Bruins take? Do you go for Wayne Simmons, or do you hold off and try to go after Panarin in the offseason?
So these are two different things. In the offseason, you want to tell me they're in for free agency for Stone or Panarin or one of these guys?
Sure.
Fine. That doesn't cost you anything. If you have the money, you have, and I don't even know if they do, but if you have the budget to do it and the cap space to go do it, then fine, go do it. What I don't want is the first round pick for Mark Stone for 6 weeks and then he's gone. Or the first round pick, especially for Wayne Simmons for 6 weeks and four goals and then he's gone. I'm done with those deals.
Well, and you should be done with those deals. And look, last offseason, they were in on Tavares, right?
Yes.
I mean, again, I don't know how in, but they were interested and they made an offer and everything else. So it feels like they want to do something substantive there. So I don't rule out them going after a big-name free agent in the offseason.
Okay, everything.
I'd rather have it now.
Yes, absolutely. Everything's on the table here, including Red Sox stuff today. Jeff in Connecticut has a thought on the Sox front office. Go ahead, Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Okay, once again, we're taking calls, so be ready to go. Josh in Weymouth, what do you got, Josh?
Why don't you believe that Kyrie will stay? He already stated that he is going to stay, and quite frankly, you guys are just making like a mountain out of a molehill in regard to that. And also, I had actually another weird question to you guys. With the whole White House thing, do you think Tom Brady will deny the orange one again to not go to the White House like he did last time?
That would be my guess, Josh. But on Kyrie, did you not hear him a couple weeks ago, the Friday before the Super Bowl, when he said, "I don't owe anyone crap"?
Apparently he missed that.
Ask me July 1?
Ask me July 1st.
I mean, he must have missed that conversation.
And I don't owe anybody, so.
Going back to the season ticket thing. And again, apparently he's mad that he's been made a part of this narrative about Durant in New York and LeBron in L.A. and Anthony Davis. But yet when he goes here this weekend, he's grabbing ass with all those guys. Thrilled to be around him. Ebullient to be around them. Thrilled.
And well, at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my career.
Didn't feel like he was really too upset with those guys for including him all those rumors. So who's he upset with?
But tell you, I can't figure the guy
Maybe
out.
He's upset with the Celtics for all their happy horse crap they've been telling people behind the scenes.
It feels to me like he changes his mind every 3 months just so he can have someone else to be pissed off at. First, he wanted to leave Cleveland because he didn't like playing with LeBron. Now it feels like he wants to be LeBron. Then he came here and said that if the fans had him and the team had him, he'd like to sign here. 3 months later, he says, I want out. He left LeBron in theory because he was in LeBron's shadow. Now he's going to go to New York and play with Durant? Whose shadow is he going to be in that? Does he think Durant's going to be in his shadow?
Just remember to ask him about Trump when you go in there. And Kaepernick, he wants to be able to talk about politics too, just like his teammates.
Ask me July 1st.
That's why he didn't like playing with LeBron in Cleveland, because everyone asked LeBron about the Trump election.
And I'll tell you, this whole White House visit thing, I thought he was going to ask about the Red Sox, and it just occurred to me, can Trump just come here and we knock them both off on the same day? Can we do that? Like, just eliminate the stupidity that goes along with this thing?
That's interesting.
How about Trump come to Boston? We have the Red Sox and the Patriots show up. They can go out for dinner together at a nice steakhouse or something just to get themselves some restaurant space. They meet the president and that's it. He doesn't even have to buy the 300 burgers or anything else. Just you come here, you meet with two teams at once, and we put away all the stupidity.
Just be sure to ask Kyrie about it because he wants to be able to talk about it. We have that and one more item. We've hit on everything today on a Reentry Tuesday. One more item. And it relates to Maz's beautiful sport of baseball. And guess what's coming this year? We'll talk about it right after this.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And from what I understand, you have the ability now to unilaterally implement the pitch clock. Are you going to do it next year?
We're going to have a conversation with the owners at our meeting in November about the pitch clock. You are right that we have the right to implement that clock unilaterally, and it will be at the top of our agenda in November.
Do you think we will have a pitch clock next season?
That's going to be a product of the conversation that we had with the owners, and it's really not appropriate for me to speculate on, you know, what the answer to that is. I will tell you this. I have been a fan of the clock. I think it's done a nice job for us in the minor leagues in terms of moving it along. I do think probably going the wrong way. I know that we're probably going a little bit the wrong direction in terms of the amount of time in between pitches.
Every pitch is so big. You know, you're not going to go out there and just rush through pitches. You know, you're taught ever since you're a little kid to be able to slow the game down, and now baseball wants to speed it up. So I don't care. I'm taking my time. I know I'm slow.
Pitch clock coming to the spring training games in Florida and Arizona. Who knows what happens in the regular season? I can't imagine they'll do it for the regular season, right, Maz?
Well, I don't know. I think part of the logic is they want guys to have a little bit of time to get used to it because they want to put in this year.
Okay, so, well,
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Remember, the initial report said the one in the regular season was going to be 30 seconds.
So now it's down to 20. That was Rob Manfred on with us during last year's World Series. And then David Price, of course, saying he's going to take his sweet time. Good. Excellent. But just hearing the players bitch about it and the baseball people bitch about it, and I include Nick Cofardo as one of the baseball people because he's an old-time baseball guy, believes in the tradition, does not want a pitch clock. And just hearing these guys complain about it, to me, I really enjoy. Because, oh my God, guys, give me a break. Nick writes, it'll be used in spring training games, much to the dismay of many veteran starting pitchers. As David Price points out, through our development, we're taught to slow the game down, and now they're asking us to speed it up, as you heard right there in the cut. Rick Porcello, who works quickly, shouldn't have a problem, but he fears, quote, I can see where the fans would pay attention to the clock and not to the batter and pitcher and then start chanting 3, 2, 1, like they do in college basketball. So now he's worried about the crowd chanting down with the clock.
So yeah, what?
Good. Throw the ball. Throw the ball, and you don't have to worry about them chanting about the clock. Throw the ball. John Henry said this yesterday. I didn't even realize it. The rule is 12 seconds?
Well, I don't know if it's 12. I thought it was 15. But there is a rule in there, or it's in the rule book, that a pitcher is supposed to throw a pitch within a certain amount of time.
Henry said 12. So you don't want fans chanting against the clock? Throw it! Throw the ball. Throw the ball. And no one's going to be chanting.
These guys, again, the pace of most of these pitchers on the mound is interminable.
I mean, the babies. The babies. Nick writes that maybe it's a necessary step to speeding up the game, but the thought of a clock in baseball makes me ill, Murray.
I don't like it. There's no clock in baseball. Never was, never should be.
Baseball has a natural flow and beauty to it, says
yep.
Nick.
All I need is the game to just go at a nice slow pace while I sit here and sip my lemonade out on the porch and listen to it on the old transistor.
There's no flow to baseball at all anymore, I would argue.
There used to be, right.
Nick says what has made the games longer are analytics and not-so-instant replay. Analytics have put more thought into every pitch and every at-bat. Pitchers need time to process things between pitches. He's half right. I mean, the analytics have taken over and it slowed the game down. I mean, every pitch, there's a new defensive alignment behind these pitchers. Pitch to pitch, they're now changing defensive alignments. And so they get the call in. He's got to think about it, and I think that's part of it. But there's another thing here that another Red Sox member of the organization mentions that I think is even bigger. Nick writes that some who despise the clock have raised the possibility of a pitcher getting injured. We're now risking their health.
Oh, my gosh.
We're now risking their health by asking them to throw the baseball. Nick writes, If you're speeding up the time a pitcher has to get the ball out of his glove, it's not always going to be a good result. Red Sox Vice President of Pitching Development Brian Bannister feels the downside of the upbeat pace could be that it messes with a pitcher's recovery time from pitch to pitch. Quote, more rest in between reps is a benefit, Bannister said. The more you fatigue your body, the more stress you're putting on it. End quote.
Really? Is that true?
Well, that's what he says.
Oh, well then how come pitchers in the 70s and 80s could throw 160 pitches in a game and go out there every 4 days?
And take 12 seconds between pitches. I don't know how they did it.
Right, exactly. They worked at a faster pace and they lasted longer. They were more durable. Look, that's asinine.
This is where, and this we read this last year, Maz, or 2 years before. A big analytic movement was that they discovered that the longer the pitcher holds the ball, the more velocity he gets on the next pitch. So the nerds, because they've taken over the game, and every team has now been taken over by nerds, the nerds, and Bannister is one of the Red Sox chief nerds, he's their pitching nerd, they realize the longer you hold the ball, the more velocity you get on the next pitch. So that's what slowed, I think that's what slowed the game down more than anything. They've all realized that the more velocity, the more strikeouts, that is one of the three true outcomes in baseball. All the nerds want walks, strikeouts, or home runs. So they are all gunning for more strikeouts. The way you get more strikeouts is more velocity. The way you get more velocity is to hold the ball longer between pitches. That's it. Bannister knows it.
I hate it.
The Sox have been on this long before everybody else. Because when you look at the length of time that their pitchers hold the ball, it's worse than anyone else. The major league average was 24.1 seconds between pitches in 2018. 24 seconds.
So double what Henry said is the rule.
Correct. Last season, the Red Sox averaged 25.2 seconds between pitches, the sixth slowest in the majors.
I mean, how many times, when you really think about it, too, that you're just, I mean, I find myself screaming at the television, pitch, throw it, throw, please, let's go. Like, let's go. We don't have all night.
We have it worse than just about anyone else because the Red Sox, the Sox play the longest games because their offense is so good and that slows down the other side and your staff is slow as molasses because I guarantee you, your nerds who are excellent have told your pitchers to hold the ball an extra count or two because you'll get more velocity out of it and we'll get more strikeouts out of it. Because according to FanGraphs, the departed Joe Kelly was the slowest.
Oh, yeah, he was brutal.
30.5 seconds a pitch. The Red Sox bullpen in general was slow to the plate. Heath Hembry was 28.4. Matt Barnes was 28.2. Ryan Brazier was 28.2. Craig Kimbrel was 27.9. Price is one of the slower working starting pitchers in baseball at 26.9 seconds between pitches. What MLB is asking pitchers to do is speed up their sequence between pitches, which may sound easy to the average fan or to the powers that be, but it's not quite that easy for the pitchers who have to alter their between pitch analysis of the hitter. Can we please take your between pitch analysis of the hitter and shove it up your keister? It's just so painful.
Again, how did they do it before?
It's so painful. It's so painful. So it's coming. They're going to put that thing on the field for spring training. We'll see if they do it for the regular season.
I want it.
Force it. Force it on the little babies.
Well, can I give you the quote from Kershaw today?
Oh yeah. This is a good one.
Oh, my God. So Clayton Kershaw today on this, you can keep your pitch clock. I'm not going to pay any attention to it. If I go over, then I go over. I'm not going to change anything I do. I'm not going to pay attention to it one bit. If it becomes a problem, I guess I'll have to deal with it then. Stubborn babies. Throughout that sport, nothing but stubborn babies who refuse to change.
Okay.
So here's what I don't want. I don't want them to give out fines for this. What I want, ball one.
Ball. You bet.
Right now you're behind in the count. Then you have no choice. Unless you just want to fall behind 3-0 and cry like a little baby out there. Like, I am, to me, put it in, enforce it, because these guys aren't going to change unless you shove it down their throats.
We've exhausted all of our topics. The Patriots stuff between Gronkowski, all those contracts up, the Kaepernick thing, the Odell Beckham thing, that's on the table. The insufferable Kyrie Irving is on the table, the way all these guys carry themselves over All-Star Weekend. Again, my headline there is that it feels like all these guys are up to something, and it doesn't include you. That's what it felt like to me over All-Star Weekend. The Bruins, are they a true contender? Are they a true contender? Because they're putting together a regular season just like they had last year. And last year, you all said they were a true contender. And it turns out they weren't really close. But they're the fourth best record in the league right now, which is just what they were last year. Is that a true cup contender? And should they act accordingly at the trade deadline? The ownership is talking about the window. The Bergeron, Krejci, Chara window. And a lot of people around the league think the Bruins are going big. Should they go big? Are they a true contender? That's on the table. The Red Sox, Maz doesn't want to sign Chris Sale. Why? Okay, I don't agree with them on that. Pace of play, all of it. I promise your calls right to it. Re-entry Tuesday. No commercials, just an update. Then we're right back with you.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.